This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
8 o'clock hour here on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside Sean back tomorrow. It is President's Day. He is taking off. Did you know that Bill Clinton was the first president?
Yep, I did know it.
Be in office when the first official website was launched.
Yeah, I could see that. That makes 94. Sense. 94, yeah. Because I still remember, was it 95, 96 you used to see on the NFL crawl was when they used to put up the whole address. They'd be like, visit http://nfl.com. Yeah. And so
you could definitely age somebody based on how they give you a website. If they give you a website and they say www, 70 years old.
70 years old? Yeah, younger than that. I think there's still some who will say that. But I mean, yeah, most of us just shorten it like DallasCowboys.com, 105.3thefan.com, stuff like that.
www.
Yeah.
www.
Like I said, back in the day, it used to be they'd give you HTTP.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I still remember that Today Show or Good Morning America, where they were talking about the email address. They said, what is this about sign? The A with the circle around it used to be about. What is this about sign for?
Yeah. By the way, our ticket giveaway for next hour has been announced officially. Oh. It is tickets to the Dierks Bentley Broken Branches Tour, which he just tweeted about 2 minutes ago. So
very nice.
That has been announced now. That's what we're giving away tickets to in the 9 o'clock hour.
Very nice. All right. It is time to tap the keg.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Turns out the Dallas Cowboys could have just gotten Bill Belichick this offseason, even after he went to North Carolina, because the UNC president basically wanted nothing to do with him. Ooh. And he said Peter Hans, sent a scathing memo to members of the school board of trustees limiting their power. After the hiring of Bill B, the board backed, you know, Mac Brown before he was fired, and then circumvented Cunningham and Roberts in order to pursue and eventually hire Bill Belichick. And he is enacting new regulations, which gives him and any future presidents final say over major athletic matters. I don't know whether or not he didn't want Bill at all. Or didn't want to spend the money on Bill, because Bill's making.
Bill is, we'll get into it here in a sec. We got the new list of the 10 highest paid coaches.
Is he in it?
He's one of the 10 highest paid coaches in college.
And I don't believe Mac Brown was.
No.
And, you know, North Carolina is, I mean, they're a basketball school. Mm-hmm. They've got a mega, mega basketball NIL.
I've got to look and see, where did they finish? Where are they at in the recruiting rankings? They're 32nd.
But they're doing really well in late transfer.
So, yeah, let me see because they've done, where were they at last year? 24, they were 32nd last year, too. So it looks like they're their actual ranking. Now, they were 58th in the transfer portal rankings last year. This year, they are 14th.
So I went and looked at the recruits for this coming year of the top. Like, there's like three or four top 100 players from North Carolina. None of them are going to UNC.
Mm.
None of them are. Like, they're going to Bama. They're going to Tennessee, Georgia, wherever. Like, they're just they're going to schools around there. They're just not going to Carolina. That's a problem. Like, you've got to figure that out. But, build and sign his deal right away.
No,
nobody doesn't. It's just the way it is in college athletics. You just don't sign your deal right away. And Bill did not. But, the Cowboys that they wanted to. I bet you the president would have been like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Take him.
100%.
We don't want this.
Yeah.
Because the UNC president sounds like a guy who just doesn't care about sports.
No. And, obviously, if you're just, you can't be bothered to even interest yourself in Bill Belichick. Now, look, there's still a question of how good are they going to be and if he's really built for this. And I still don't know. I anticipate, we've talked about it before, I anticipate it's going to go like Bill Walsh did at Stanford, where maybe it's okay in the beginning, but pretty quickly it's going to catch up to them. I think how they're just, I don't see how he's able to build a program there. What was it? Tough. Bruce Feldman told us, I think it was, or not Bruce Feldman, who was Stuart Mandel told us that unanimously everybody he talked to from the NFL
loved
thought
the
Belichick was going to have success. Everybody he talked to at the college level thought he was going to fail.
Yeah. I mean, there's coaching. Coaching at the college level is only a fraction of the job. It's a fraction of the job. You've got to recruit.
His highest ranked recruit in the transfer portal was the 49th overall player, Thaddeus Dixon, a corner transfer from Washington.
Who probably, you know what? Who was at Washington last year? Bill's son.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about the head coach. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, Bill's
son was the DC there.
Yep. You remember Bill was walking around in Washington gear for a couple months.
So, I mean, I could see why Thaddeus would make that change.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. You want to talk some CFP expansion?
Yeah, let's expand this because this is going to happen. Please do not expand the NCAA tournament. But if you want to expand the college playoff, I mean, I have less of an issue with that.
Ross Dellinger, pretty good reporter.
Yeah, he is.
Over at Yahoo. He's writing, last spring during intense and at times heated negotiations over the future of the college football playoff, leaders of the Big Ten and SEC threatened to create their own postseason system if they were not granted a majority of CFP revenue and full authority over the playoff format. In the end, executives of the 10 FBS leagues and Notre Dame signed a memorandum of understanding, handing over control to college football's two richest conferences. Soon, they are expected to exercise that control. Within the SEC and Big Ten, momentum is building to further expand the playoff to 14 or even 16 teams, assign multiple automatic qualifiers per league, as many as four each for themselves, and finalize a scheduling arrangement together that may fetch millions in additional revenue from TV partners, sources told Yahoo Sports. Get over yourselves, SEC and Big Ten.
I mean, they run the show. They've got
the SEC.
So they're 32. Those are 32 teams, right?
They want four automatic bids for the SEC.
That makes sense.
Come on. No, it doesn't.
Big Ten? That makes sense.
No, you want those automatic qualifiers because, no, this is that whole just.
What year would you not have four quality Big Ten or SEC teams that.
Then just let the rankings reflect that.
Well. Sure.
Don't
that's
give
fine.
Them an automatic qualifier.
That's fine, but
they're doing this because they want Bama. They were pissed. They were pissed about Bama. That's why they want their four automatic
they're
qualifiers.
They're doing this to
else.
Ensure that the biggest eyeballed teams are in, which is Ohio State, it's Michigan, it's Bama.
Ohio State, Notre Dame just wasn't enough for them. We really got cheated out of big fan bases with Ohio State versus Notre Dame.
But you want Ohio State and Michigan, you want Bama, you want Notre Dame, you want I don't know if I have no idea how big Georgia's fan base. I mean, Georgia's got a huge fan because it's the state is really, really big. But I mean, there's a handful. If you go look at the most watched, teams this year, it's the usual suspects.
It's just
they were all in the playoff except Bama.
And I hate it. I hate being in the SEC as a Longhorns fan. because the entitlement of that conference, the cult-like thinking of the SEC, and just to think like, oh yeah, we need four automatic bids. Now look, ultimately,
but it ensures that you're going to get either Bama or Texas in just about every year. And it ensures you're going to get either Ohio State or Michigan in just about every year. And that's good for the sport. The sport wants that.
Get them in when they deserve it, then.
I agree, when they deserve, but one of them is going to deserve it every year.
Which, what did they get this year? They got Tennessee, Georgia, Texas. They got three in.
And those are, like,
and
really...
Who was the fourth? Who was fourth just on the outside?
It was either Bama or Ole Miss.
It was Bama.
Yeah. But Georgia, Tennessee, Texas have, like, really big followings.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
And they're good football teams.
Penn State, big following.
They're usually going to get in there. This is a safety valve.
Yes,
for
absolutely.
Let's save a big like fan base when their team isn't that good. That's what they want.
I agree it is. It's you got to follow the money.
Look, I mean, if these schools signed over the power to the Big Ten and the SEC, I guess that's their own fault, and they have the power to do whatever they want, and that's fine. I just think for the health of the game, it's stupid. You don't need to have these automatic qualifiers to just make sure that you can shoehorn in a Alabama when they're not that good. This is they're pissed about SMU.
Yeah, they might be. And Indiana too.
Yeah,
and Boise.
It's just ridiculous. I don't think that. I mean, did you feel like I understood we were always heading towards 14? I knew that
we were heading towards 14. 16.
16 didn't. But if they're pushing now for 16,
we don't need 16
because you know what? It's because they. Big Ten probably wants four qualifiers. Mm-hmm. SEC wants four. So that's half of it. So they go, well.
And then that doesn't even account for the other eight because you know you're going to get at least one more of each in.
Yeah, probably.
For the most part.
This is just, it's stupid.
Well, you know, the SEC may be known for football. It is a basketball conference. I'll tell you that right now. Did you see the release? So you know how they do the release of the college rankings in football?
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing for college basketball. They do the top 16 seeds. Five of the top six are SEC schools.
Damn.
Auburn is one. They have such a stranglehold on number one. I have never seen a more clear-cut number one in probably since Kentucky with like Anthony Davis.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anybody in between there that's there may have been at other points one of these other years where
right.
somebody like North Carolina was, but I can't remember.
Bama 2, Duke 3, Florida 4, Tennessee 5, A&M 6. A&M hosts Tennessee this weekend. The winner has a chance at a one seed. The loser probably no longer has a chance at a one seed.
Yeah, and we got the Alabama Auburn game this past week.
Yeah, we did. That was Auburn. Bruce Pearl had a great quote. He goes, "We played like the number one team. We prepared like the number one team. We act like the number one team in the nation." They did.
I'm a dumbass. If you want to talk about dominating number one, UConn last year, UConn was pretty great. They were a pretty clear cut number one.
Were they the overall number one seed?
Yeah.
They were?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I'm trying to think. Houston is coming in at number 8. Texas Tech, baby, at number 13. Nobody wants to play them. Grant McCaslin's done a phenomenal job. He was with you, Peyton.
Call, baby, UNT.
Yeah, he was at UNT. And then he goes over to Texas Tech. He's done a phenomenal job there.
That's just like Peyton, too. He went to UNT, and then he jumped over to Texas Tech.
Yeah. So, are you a Tech basketball fan?
No.
Until McKenzie tells him to be.
That's right.
By the way, shout out to Will Chambers, who got his got belt to ass with the Texas Longhorns beating the Kentucky Wildcats over the weekend.
That is like the fifth time I've heard that phrase in the last like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard it in about 20 years. No one said it in years. And that's like the fifth time in the last 2 weeks I've heard somebody say belt to ass.
Someone did it at the Eagles parade. There was someone up on the, they drive around and he was beating himself with a belt.
It's become a, right. Isn't that how David Carradine died? So if you actually look at, the way that's being used lately, it's just becoming like meme culture, basically,
yeah.
That phrase.
Okay.
So, but I'm bringing it back.
I get you.
It's my name.
I get you. And real quick, I want to, because this, I love college basketball. Last year, we had Robbie Avila at Indiana State. He was affectionately known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yep, yep.
This year, we've got Kyler Filwich at Wofford. Okay? This guy looks like Ethan Suplee from, like, 2002.
Before he got yoked.
Before he got all yoked and everything. But you'll love this, Peyton. He's a granny style free throw shooter.
Underhand.
He goes the underhand. Oh, wow. He goes the underhand free throw. What was that look for?
I'll tell you during the break.
Can you not say granny style anymore?
No. I don't want to spoil something. I'll need to
break. Okay. All right. Very nice. So that is a little bit of your college football kegger here on 105.3 The Fan. One of the greatest starts to a sporting event ever happened over the weekend. How the NHL dunked on the NBA. Coming up next to The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is underway, and the gloves are off. Matthew Tkachuk and Brandon Hagel. Hagel from Tampa Bay, Tkachuk from Florida.
Dude, that was insane over the weekend. What happened at the start of the Four Nations face-off with USA and Canada, and USA gets the 3-1 win as the three fights in 9 seconds, Bobby. That's what it was. The Tkachuk brothers both getting into it.
Loved it. I liked the tweet over the weekend, and I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember what it was, but it was like NBA players. I don't really want to take these jump shots in this skills competition. NHL players, I will literally die for my country in this, in this exhibition game. Yeah.
That's what it was. This was. Peyton, did you see this at all? Did you watch any of this?
I saw what was up on Twitter. I didn't like watch the game, but I saw the fights. Yeah,
it was because this was going up against the dunk contest, and you know we were flipping back and forth between the two because the kids were like they're not huge into hockey. Like if my kids were there, I'd have been like all in on the Four Nations. Outside of maybe watching a little bit of the 3-point, but this was so incredible. Just the atmosphere. There are a few things like, you know, obviously World Cup soccer. I get totally into it. I love watching any kind of national sports where you have your Olympics. I love the Olympics. Olympic hockey doesn't really do it for me as much as say something like this might. I don't know why. Like, I think it's because like when the Winter Olympics roll around, I love all the other Winter Olympic sports that I don't get to see. That I don't really get into the hockey or the basketball when it comes to the Olympics.
We talked about this Friday a little bit. Did you see NFL Red Zone might be losing Scott Hansen, which you're not a Red Zone guy, but they might be losing Scott Hansen because he did so great with his Olympic Red Zone type of coverage where they did the gold zone of Scott Hansen that he's a free agent now and they're wanting him to do the same thing for the Winter Olympics coming up. So they're like, we'll pay you to do some football and do these Olympic presentations. So might be looking at a new Red Zone host because of that.
I guess Siciliano would just go back, right?
I mean, he's the Cleveland Browns play-by-play guy now.
Oh, yeah.
He just got that job at the beginning of last year.
What would you rather do? You rather play-by-play or the Red Zone?
I think he's a Browns guy. Like, I think he's... I think he's from there, right?
He's
yeah, Cleveland. And so, like, I think that's kind of like a dream job for him.
Okay.
So
I get it.
We talked to Mitch Holthus at, you know, Super Bowl. We know Brad Sham. Like, you see all these guys. When you get those jobs and you nail it, man. Oh, that's a career. Like you can just make that your life because those jobs are so you are the voice of that team. But it's tough to beat that.
See the Titans guy left. He left the Titans and went to Tennessee.
He left the Titans and went to Tennessee like volunteers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So like, the Titans are in Tennessee.
He has to do football and basketball.
That
seems like a lot more work.
It does.
You're adding 30 games to your schedule.
The college game is more work than the pros. That's what
they've
been telling
us. It just is. But this sets up, though, because, you know, Team USA, they're in. They're in the championship. They're in the title game. And it sets up an interesting little situation because that title game is going to be on Thursday in Boston. So the U.S. did this to Canada on Saturday night. In Montreal. Right there.
Right in their face.
Right in their face. They booed the anthem. The Canadians booed the anthem. And then 9 seconds, three fights. Unbelievable theater.
Booed the anthem.
Booed the anthem.
Montreal Canadiens. I like the Montreal Kaepernicks.
Stop it. That's nothing to do with it. Why are you bringing that up? That's so long ago. But yeah, so we might see a rematch though. If Canada beats Finland in a game they play tonight. Actually, it's today. It's at noon. If they win that game's going to be in Boston. They could get back into the final and get a rematch with Team USA, but. Man, Team USA they're so good. Team USA might start Otter today. They don't need to start the goalie, the Winnipeg goalie, the Hellebuck. I can't pronounce it.
Sure,
but they've got tremendous goaltending on Team USA. I am so stoked for that game Thursday night if they get to play Canada again and just beat them again, baby.
So how do we get that kind of intensity for the NBA also?
I don't know, but look at this. This game, that Canada-US game, peaked at 5.2 million viewers on Saturday night.
Damn.
And it had an average 4.4. That's a big number. And we just hockey talked, numbers have been down.
Yeah,
this
we
year
just
too.
Talked last week about how like hockey numbers have been putting up in prime like primetime games, putting up like 400,000.
There was one that was 160,000.
Yeah.
Terrible numbers. But this put up a ton of good numbers. So good for them on that one. And I don't know how we get the NBA to get back to that, but Draymond Green has a take on why he thinks the league isn't exciting as it used to be.
I think the physicality has been taken out of the game, and to me that's boring. The old style of refereeing will come back, where if you've earned stripes, you get a better whistle. That's just the way it used to go. And now it's not that way. And then you question why is the game boring? You know, Michael Jordan used to get calls, but not the rookie coming into the league. He ain't getting no call. The rookie coming into the league got a call or thought he was going to get a call. He turned to the referee and said, "You ain't call that." And he said, "Who are you? Why would I call that for you? What have you done?" So I think the human element has been taken out of it. I don't think that makes for a great product.
All right, so a little to unpack here. You know, first is physicality coming back will make the product less boring. Like, does anybody think the NFL is less boring that it's less physical? Like, I'm sure you have your fans that still want to see, like, the ridiculous, absurd hits. But, like, the league is more popular than ever, and it's less physical than ever.
This is a Caitlin Clark take. Caitlin Clark said this a month ago. She got asked about the NBA. Like, why do you think so many people are tuning out of the NBA? And her answer was she thought it was lack of physicality. I don't think it's lack of physicality. I think it's lack of... He's talking about physicality because, in general, I think it's... They think it's soft, which is hilarious coming from Draymond. Like, the Warriors were the Splash Brothers, like, Transition 3 basketball team. But I think it's just more... People are tired of not seeing clean basketball. Ball movement and like, real classic, like, well-executed basketball. That's the issue. They just don't want to see the... Let's put up as many threes as we can because analytics, you know, Joe Mazzulla looked it up and said, this is the way you got to do it. So let's just toss up as many threes as we can. That's what people are tired of. And I don't think the fix they keep trying to come up with is like, well, what about a 4-point line? Like, I don't think four is going to make that better. People are still going to be shooting stuff up.
Yeah.
You're going to see more and more people putting them up.
I
don't know the fix. I know I'm somebody here. It's like a politician who goes, we got to do something, and then they don't have a solution for it. I don't have a solution, but I do kind of feel like something's got to be done. You got to do something.
Well, you know, he also said the older guys should get more whistles.
Like, yeah, I don't like that.
That to me is like that's anti-progress.
No, to basically be like, oh, what we need more of is you get a benefit of the doubt if you're LeBron.
Yeah, that's very Michael Lombardi.
Which I can see Draymond Green struggling to hang around the NBA. Like, I mean, older guy, he's going to want more of those calls.
Right. Do you think Draymond would have been saying that 10 years ago when he was a rookie?
Probably not. No, especially when he would be getting whistled for the fouls on those guys.
Right. So, like, I mean, literally every fan complains that LeBron and Mahomes get all the calls.
469, LOL, lack of physicality from the player who punched a teammate in the face.
Yeah, right? No kidding.
Did you see the Cade Cunningham solution to some of those fouls?
Let's play that here, Peyton, on the new rule he would like implemented.
Cut is that?
Five,
sorry.
Literally says it in the cut.
If you challenge a call, the ref that made the call can't be there to review it.
The ref that made the call can't be there to review it.
Yeah, and that was his simple answer to it.
I like
quick answer, but it makes sense. Like, if you're talking about, and look,
so that would leave the other guys to show up. They'll never go by that.
Probably, but I mean, it would at least if you're removing him from the situation, it's conflict of interest.
Yeah,
and so I like at least the thought process. Cade Cunningham, Arlington guy from DFW,
Oak State.
Yep, absolutely. But I think he's right, but here's the bigger thing that came from that. When he gave that answer, that went viral. There were a lot of people who were like, this makes sense. Why don't you do this? But it brought more of a sense of the NBA needs to do what everybody else has been doing, which they just, it's a replay official. It's a third party. It's outside of the arena or it's somebody up top. It's not one of the, it shouldn't be any of the officials on the court reviewing it. It should be a replay official.
I agree. There's a conflict of interest that you don't want to have in there.
Yeah,
very, absolutely. Very true.
By the way, Cade Cunningham also had another great line here while he was out there at All-Star Week. Again, guy from DFW. He was asked about his dream opponent in a game of horse, and he gave a fantastic answer.
I'd say Dirk.
And what are you going to hit him with? Guarantee him a letter.
To guarantee him a letter?
That Cade's got in the bed. Probably not Dirk.
I got to try to – I mean, can we dunk a horse?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably try to hit a trick or something. I don't know if he got
tricks.
Dirk
doesn't have too many dunks.
I mean, that's probably the only way I can get him a letter.
That's good.
That's good.
So he obviously, growing up around DFW, Dirk would have been the idol as the guy who – now, I think in high school he ended up going to Florida, like midway through his high school career. But a guy who saw Dirk in his prime out here, and I love it, though. That would be his dream opponent, the way he's guaranteeing the letters. Like, can we dunk? I'll just dunk. Dirk have hops.
Dirk doesn't, especially not now.
But man, it's for those of you that did like are younger and didn't see Dirk first couple years he was playing, go look up highlights of Dirk from like 2000, 2001, and watch that dude run the court as a 7-footer and dunk the ball and cross over. You remember the way he used to move when he first got the league? He was so fluid.
Yeah,
he
was.
He was not a guy that was just a post-op or kind of lumbering. He was quick.
It's like towards the end of his career, like not even towards the end, but like after about 6 years in, he had one dunk. It was the running two-handed dunk. That's it.
Yeah. But it was always good.
It was the dunk that he had, the and one, and in San Antonio.
He would always do the point.
Yeah.
Which that he didn't even finish. It was the dunk he did, though, like on the baseline against the Heat in the finals in 2011, where he came to the side and two-handed dunked it. But yeah, that was the way to get it. But back in the day, he used to frequently dunk, like the first couple years he was here, because he was a tremendous athlete. Then he just kind of changed up his style, got a little bigger.
Happy President's Day to one and all. I didn't do a fun fact here in this one. There are seven presidents have been left-handed. James Garfield was the first
dude, and it's a lot of them recently.
Yeah,
it's like
President Obama's lefty.
It's like six out of the last eight. Which is a ridiculous ratio given.
No way.
Dude, I saw this on a Unexplained Facts video the other day. Maybe it's not 6 out of 8, but it's like 6 out of 10. But it's a lot of, like, it's a it's way more common for a president to be left-handed than just a
normal
person. Yeah.
Okay, so Garfield, yes. Truman, by the way, Truman will be in the next one. Gerald Ford, Reagan, Old Man Bush.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Clinton and President Obama.
I'm going to send that to Masterpiece of the Week, even though this isn't KNC Masterpiece. That's just got to be a special contribution. Coming up next to Below the Belt, we just talked about conflicts of interest. Let's talk about Tom Brady's most recent conflict of interest. That's next in Below the Belt on The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Tom Brady can't keep getting away with this. Boy, the list of conflicts of interest with this guy just keep building over and over and over again. Okay, so we're going to talk about the latest controversy surrounding the AP awards with the NFL, and specifically why Tom Brady could potentially, if he wanted to, influence things financially for the Raiders in a very helpful way just with a vote for the AP awards. There's a lot of surprise right now. Recently, the AP released everybody's ballot for the first time, which they said they reserved the right to do, but it surprised many of the voters. The voters didn't know that their whole ballots would be released. Again, I think if you voted for it, you should stand by it, but they were still caught off guard, surprised that, oh, okay, I guess this is disclosed and showed up there. There was already a controversy over why did Lamar Jackson get first team quarterback, but Josh Allen got MVP. People were already looking at that kind of odd. So Tom Pelissero got a little worked up as well when some of these AP controversies came out. And he said, if you're wondering why the AP gives votes to people paid by sports books, people from debate shows, people who own parts of NFL teams, people you've never even heard of, but nobody from NFL Network. Yeah, me too. As to Brady having a vote, this is what Mike Florio writes, because Florio does have a vote. He says, Tom Pelissero of NFL Media has a point. As to whether there are voters who probably don't follow the NFL closely enough to have one, he also has a point. We asked both the league and the AP for comment on Pelissero's wrong side of the bed post, especially since it fires a not so subtle shot at Raiders minority owner slash majority voice Tom Brady, whom the AP allowed to vote this year. And they said it is their longstanding policy that we do not include voters from AP or NFL media to maintain separation between the voting process and the two awarding organizations. So they're like, you guys are handing out the awards. We're handing out. We can't have people from our group submit it. So if you write for the AP, you don't vote. If you are with NFL media, you don't get a vote. But there are plenty of people on here who...
NFL media is just NFL Network.
Yeah, NFL, not like...
So ESPN doesn't matter.
Yeah, not media covering the NFL, just NFL media like the group. So okay. That's what it is. But it does open up an interesting question about Tom Brady getting a vote. Tom Brady votes on all these awards. And right now, the Las Vegas Raiders are not a very good football team. But this is another conflict of interest that shows up where it's like, if you've got a player, think of how many escalators exist for if you win this award, you get a contract incentive. Right. Or if you're just going to the table and you're going to negotiate against somebody who won an award. Like, do I want to negotiate against the guy who won the NFL MVP, or do I want to negotiate against the guy who finished second in the MVP voting?
Right.
Well, if you've got a quarterback like that, who's to say Tom Brady doesn't go, you know what, let's leave my guy off the ballot completely. Let's not. Mm-hmm. That'll hopefully skew things. If this is a close race, maybe that skews things a little bit. And he doesn't win MVP, and then I'm not. You know, we're not sitting in there in a negotiation. We save ourselves a few million dollars. This seems like a massive conflict of interest to me.
Of course it is, but the NFL doesn't care. They don't care. They made their bed with Tom. Like they want to be in the Tom Brady broadcast business, and they want to be in the Tom Brady ownership business.
Well, and to be fair, this is an AP rule.
But the AP doesn't care.
Right. I mean, I would think they would, if they're talking about wanting to remain above board and we have a policy that NFL media and AP can't vote on it, I would think they would reflect a similar policy there. I would think, but maybe not.
This is why they're not allowed on the plane.
Exactly. Let's go through some of these. Let's go through some of these ballots, because now that they're out, I'm interested in
it. By the way,
mm-hmm.
How do we get a vote? I want to vote on like the amount of people who have a Heisman vote, who don't pay attention to college football at all, astonishes me.
Oh, we know a lot of the people on here who have votes.
The amount of people that have an AP top 25 vote who don't pay attention to college basketball astounds me. Hello?
I'm a little surprised at some of the... I'm stunned Sam Monson has a vote.
PFF?
Old, but he's not even with PFF anymore.
Is that Moo? That's not Moo, is it?
No. Sam Monson is, he and Palazzo would do the, they were the main
Enrico?
Podcasters. No, he was they had the really tall guy and then the shorter bald guy always walking around with PFF at the Super Bowl. You know who I'm talking about? He's the shorter bald guy. And he's kind of an arrogant ass.
That kind of guy.
I mean, because I know arrogant asses because I am one, you know? All right, but when you look at this list of voters who are on here, here are some of the AP voters who voted on NFL MVP. You tell me if you have a problem with this person being a voter or not. Rich Gannon.
No. Now, Rich does... He calls games, right?
Yeah.
So he's on like the fourth team or whatever.
So is he too narrow, though, to potentially keep up with everything else that's going on?
I think it's his... No, because he gets to... No, I think it's okay.
Chris Sims. Because Chris Sims and Florio both have votes. I don't necessarily have a problem with one of them, but I wonder, should they both be represented?
Yeah, you don't need both, I don't think. But, yeah, I don't have a problem with Chris.
Laura Oakman. Sideline reporter who does consulting for a number of coaches in the NFL. Like,
if she...
She's voting on Coach of the Year? Is she going
to
vote
She should
clients?
Not vote on Coach of the Year. If she wants to vote on MVP, Comeback Player of the Year, whatever, I don't have a problem with that.
Let's see here. Who are some of the other ones on here? Mike Tirico is a voter.
No issue.
I don't have an issue with that either. Kay Adams. I have a little bit of an issue with Kay Adams having a vote because she basically just, she's hosting like a daytime NFL talk show. Like she's interviewing, like we were out there at Super Bowl. She's interviewing like comedians and stuff like that. Like, I don't know that I think of her as like true, like NFL media covering the sport. Even if she's got the knowledge or anything else, I don't think of her as media.
I don't have an issue with it.
Tom Brady.
I have an issue. He should, if he is, because you brought the point, and Pelissero, I'm sure, brought it up. You stole it, but whatever. if he is impacting someone's salary potentially,
yep.
I have a big problem with that.
Dan Orlovsky.
No issue.
Emmanuel Acho.
I don't have an issue.
I just think of his personality and I go, you're such an Esther.
Like he's a troll?
Yeah,
he's
like trolling? That I don't know that I want him having a vote. All right, if you're interested, here was the MVP ballot of Tom Brady. Number five, Joe Burrow.
That's too low.
Oh, this is fascinating. Number four, Ja'Marr Chase. So his receiver was ranked higher on his MVP ballot than the quarterback was. Saquon Barkley got voted third. Josh Allen second, and he voted for Lamar Jackson as the MVP.
Okay. Hey, look, it's a fair ballot.
Teddy Bruschi had the exact same ballot as Tom Brady, other than number five was not Burrow. He had Mahomes.
Bruschi has a vote, too.
Yes, okay. Teddy Bruschi's on here. Some of the weird names that maybe popped up on this, or not weird if you consider, hey, they played really well. Mina Kimes had Jaden Daniels fifth on her list, as well as Dan Orlovsky. They both did. Sam Darnold showed up on John McMullen and Sam Monson's lists. They both voted for them, as well as Ben Volen from Boston. He was on there. Jared Goff popped up on a lot of these lists. This one is going to drive you nuts, and I don't even know who this is. Nora Princiati, her fourth ranked, or his, I don't know. Nora sounds like a girl.
Nora, I think, is generally
a girl. I would assume. You never know. Justin Herbert was fourth on that ballot.
Does it say where she's from? Is
no,
she like
let's
a Chargers
take a look.
Media?
Let's take a look at that. Nora is with The Ringer, where she covers culture, everything from culture, Taylor Swift, to the National Football League. No, she's from Boston.
Okay.
So she voted there for that. But either way, this whole thing sets up. Like, I'm be curious. I'm trying to think if there was anything the Raiders were involved in that could have been a Rookie of the Year vote or one of those that Brady voting for it could have been a conflict of interest. There was Defensive Player of the Year, but Max Crosby wasn't healthy for a lot of the year. But it's stunning to look at some of these names that show up on these lists and who they voted for. Tom Brady's Defensive Player of the Year vote. Do you know who he voted for?
Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
Max Crosby.
Trey Hendrickson.
Boy, he was all over Cincy.
Trey Hendrickson was his number one player. Patrick Surtain was two. Kirby Joseph, friend of the station, friend of the nosebleed seats, was third. Miles Garrett, and then Danielle Hunter.
Tom took this seriously. Those are solid. Outside of maybe Trey, like those are solid.
Yeah, I don't have as much of a problem with it. You might have a problem with this. This was his Offensive Player of the Year ballot. Saquon Barkley, Ja'Marr Chase, Derrick Henry. Okay, no problems there. Joe Thuney, the offensive lineman, is on here.
Wow.
And number five was another offensive lineman, Penei Sewell.
When you're putting O-line in offensive player, you're putting work in.
Now here's...
I don't have a problem with his ballot at all.
Here's where I have a problem with his ballot, and this is starting to become a theme and something that's a little bit disconcerting to me or makes me wonder. His Offensive Player of the Year ballot there, Saquon Barkley, Chase, Henry, Thuney, Sewell... It's a pretty unique ballot, right? Two offensive linemen. It is the exact same ballot as Teddy Bruschi.
You think they collabed?
I don't know. Bruschi and Brady's ballots look strikingly similar.
Across the board?
Yeah, on all the votes. There's like maybe a guy or two that swapped out. Defensive Player of the Year had a little bit of a variance to it. But I mean, they both voted Trey Hendrickson one, and they both voted Patrick Surtain two.
Interesting.
But then they split from there because they end up with pretty much the same guys on their list all over the place. So to me, it looks a little bit suspect, a little bit questionable. Like maybe that's the bigger issue than just the issue there. Real quick before we wrap up, Aaron Rodgers, you think he looked pretty desperate and sad this weekend?
It appears so. Reports say that he was like really kind of pushing the Jets to keep him. Now this is contrary to the reports from a week ago that was like they were both kind of like, We're good to go. If you know, we'll join forces again. It's got to be right. But now the report says that he is down and out. He's down on his luck right now, and he really is kind of sad that he didn't get asked back to the Jets, and they kind of were like, "Yeah, we done with you."
Yeah,
and now it's like, what do you do? Like, you're going to end your career in a whimper like that?
Which is stunning to me because it sounded like there was so much just disapproval from Woody Johnson, Brick Johnson for that matter. But just in general, there was a they felt like they were pretty tired of Aaron Rodgers throughout the year. So, I mean, I guess what we saw in Hard Knocks and what we saw in the Aaron Rodgers documentary and other things like that, he must genuinely, he really loved being with the Jets, I guess, which is stunning to
That's stunning.
Why would you be?
I don't even think Woody Johnson likes being with the Jets. Aaron Glenn's probably already regretting this.
By the way, somebody did point out on the fan text that Tom Brady did have a player that was up for an award. It was Brock Bowers.
Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. He did not vote for Brock Bowers, number one. He voted for Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
And then he had Brock Bowers ahead of Bo Nix. So his ballot was Jaden Daniels, Brock Bowers, Bo Nix, Malik Nabers, Bucky Irving.
That's a fair ballot.
Teddy Bruschi's ballot was Jaden Daniels, Brock Bowers, Bo Nix, Malik Nabers, Bucky Irving.
Oh, God.
Conspiracy here. I'm going to dig in on this. I'm going to be watching this every year now to see if Bruschi and Brady... If Brady's just focusing on one game or different, maybe he's asking Bruschi, like, hey, who are you voting for?
Wow.
They're getting some collab there.
Wow. Did you think about that? Below the belt here on 105.3 The Fan, your President's Day fun fact for the segment.
Ooh.
The S in Harry S. Truman doesn't stand for anything.
No, it is just, it's S.
It's S.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I like it.
All right. Very nice. Let's play a little game. We got a Dirks Bentley ticket giveaway in the 9 o'clock hour. And how young is Peyton Russell? Coming up next on 105.3 The Fan.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.